On today's episode of the Trade Busters podcast, we're going to be talking about how to beat the market by running a business. Now, of course, this is an options podcast, and this is what you guys are expecting. So just stick around, and you'll see how this all relates. So the reason this episode came up is I was having this conversation with a friend the other day, and I was just, you know, and he's not a trader. It's just a friend I know from something else. And I was talking about high level what we do. He's interested in kind of like math and probabilities and stuff, and this idea of the fact that you can have a quantifiable edge and use a systematic strategy and beat the market, you know, so on and so forth. And at first he was a little skeptical, because obviously I think you guys have heard about the whole idea of the efficient markets and how information is all priced in and you can't beat the markets. S&P, you know, that famous bet that Warren Buffett had with that hedge fund manager of after 10 years, could they beat the market, so on and so forth. But as I told him a bit more about our approach and the fact that we're kind of using these systematic, quantifiable strategies, he basically came to this conclusion that the reason we can beat the market is because we're doing something totally different. In fact, we're not even competing with the market. You know, basically, we're not playing their game, right? And this is the idea that I want to get across, because if you wanted to beat the market doing what the market does, right, which is trying to price things, or in fact trying to find mispricings, right, and you can, you know, do things like fundamental analysis and study, you know, companies' earning calls and all these things. But if you think about it, there's so much competition, right? There's huge, well-funded institutions, and they probably have some kind of source of information that you don't have. And, you know, trying to be a stock picker or try to buy low, sell high, right? And doing that to beat the market is probably close to impossible at this point, all right? And if there is an edge you can get, it's going to be really thin, right? So the idea is you can beat the market doing something else, right? By not playing their game. Now, before we go on to, you know, kind of the idea behind this episode, let's quantify or define what is beating the market mean, right? Just kind of for illustrative purposes. So for this episode, and depending on what time frame you're talking about, it's going to differ, right? But let's just say, for sake of example, the market return is 10%, and we're not even going to get into like risk-adjusted returns, right? This is just 10% absolute return, and there's taxes and all that. Let's forget about tax for a second, or, you know, you can assume it's after tax, right? Just assume, you know, if you have $100,000, and we're not talking about return on capital, we're talking about return on your account, right? Compound annual growth rate. So if you have $100,000, after 1 year, it's going to be 110, right? And after another year, it's going to become 121, so on and so forth. So a 10% realized absolute 10% compound growth rate. Now, going back to the title, all right, how can you beat that, right? 10%. So if you think about businesses, right, businesses usually provide a service or a good, right? And somebody that sells goods, right, they have a certain cost of goods sold, right? They have a certain risk capital, right? The cost of goods sold, the inventory, maybe the cost of paying rent to maintain a brick and mortar store, right? There's things that go into the business that are kind of expenses and risks to the business owner, right? And at the end of the day, when they, you know, sell the goods, sell the services, they have a profit. After you deduct all of the expenses and all the overhead, you have a profit, right? And that profit represents a return on their, you know, risk capital. And I'm not a business person, so I may be kind of just kind of throwing terms out there that aren't correct. But that represents a certain return on their capital. And I would think that you can make much more than 10% return on the capital, especially if it's a successful business that you want to kind of actually grow. I'm thinking about businesses that grow, you know, and expand, right? I would think that their return on the capital is much more than just 10%, and sometimes it could be hundreds of percent, thousands of a percent, right? Or if you think about like a internet business, right? Like a internet service, right? There's no overhead, right? There's no store. It's just the cost of, I don't know, having a domain and maybe hosting some information or data or whatever. So in those cases, the return on capital can be extremely high, right? And so the idea is, if you think of your business think of your trading as a business. And I'm not talking about in the sense that you may have heard on other episodes, like, oh, track your expenses, you know, track your commissions, track this and look at the income and kind of almost like a very systematic approach of like trying to figure out what the profit and loss and risk. Those still apply, of course. You still want to do that. And anytime you want to have a successful long-term endeavor, you should be kind of systematic about the tracking the inputs and outputs, so on and so forth. But I'm talking about more trading as a business in terms of what you're doing in the market, right? You, to have an edge, you have to either provide a service or you have to take some kind of risk. Now, I'm not going to get too deeply into, you know, these two concepts. What I would say is when I was planning this episode, it actually reminded me of a great Twitter thread or X by Robot James. And I'll put a link to his thread in the show notes. And I think his handle is at the Robot James. But he kind of broke down this idea of and gave some examples of what providing a service or taking a risk. And one of them was like, if you're providing liquidity, if your position provides liquidity to somebody that needs to hedge or exit or whatever, you're providing them a service and usually you'll get paid some kind of premium for that, right? Or one of the classic examples as options traders, especially if you're a net seller, is the volatility risk premium, right? You're taking a risk by kind of warehousing this risky position. Of course, if things go bad, you can take a big loss, right? And the reason why you're taking that asymmetrical risk, there's some volatility risk premium priced into the options. And that's the overall idea. But again, not to get too deep into that, but the idea that you are providing some kind of service or taking some kind of risk, those provide the edge, right? There's a business model you can run. And if you think of your trading in a way that kind of systematically exploits or takes advantage of these edges, right? You have a quantifiable edge. That's the business model, right? That is running, that's trading as a business. And as long as you have some edge you can define or you can identify that is persistent. Now, if it's not persistent, obviously you have to do research and find new edges. And I think that more has to do with like, I think it's not necessarily the same as finding inefficiencies per se. If there's like a new market or something and things aren't efficient, usually over time that that edge erodes, right? It essentially gets arbed away. But something like volatility risk premium, and granted there's risk involved, right? That's why it's a risk premium. But those kind of edges I think are persistent. And so really the rest just comes down to execution. If you have a plan to execute on that and keep it consistent and thorough, you will have the ability to make profit over time, right? And that profit is gonna depend on, because the risk premium and these edges, they aren't consistent in the sense of like, you're gonna make a ton of money all the time. It depends on market conditions, it's cyclical, but over time it averages out and the return you can make, right, represents some kind of percent. And going back to our benchmark of beating the market, you know, I really think if you have a consistent approach, right, whatever strategy you have, ultimately you can just size up and down, right? Now, not taking into account volatility drag, which I think I'll do another episode on that, but your return is just a function of size, right? You can lever up, lever down, depending on your own goals and risk tolerance. You can size up to kind of target or go for a certain level of return. And I think really it is very reasonable to make that, you know, 10%, 10 plus percent and quote unquote beat the market. But then it kind of comes back to, heck, why is everybody even benchmarking to the market? Why do we care about beating the market? And this for me actually kind of feeds into the reason why so many people fail at trading as well. So there's this kind of vicious cycle. And the reason it happens is because if you know, it takes time to trade, right? If you want to spend time and take that time away from doing something else that's adding value or generating income, you want the time to be worth it. You want to make money, right? And you know, for example, being a passive investor, S&P, buy, SPY, there's a certain return you can get by basically doing nothing, right? That's the passive return. And, you know, we can call it 10%. Again, depends on the time of, you know, which time frame, and there's drawdowns, but people always just think, okay, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% you can get without doing anything, right? So inherently, if you're going to spend time, you want to make money. But the problem is, and we just talked about, yes, you can lever up or lever down to make more on the same strategy, but levering up, taking big risks, is going to be big drawdowns, volatility tax, yada, yada. So the idea is that you need money to make money, right? To try to make $100,000, you can have $1 million and just make 10%, or you can have $100,000 and try to make 100%, right? But those are very different, right? So you need money to make money. Now, the problem is a lot of people starting out, they don't have the money, right? So if you don't have money, then you have to trade big, right? And if you kind of think about it from a business owner approach, like actual businesses, right, the kind we were talking about earlier, they, if you have a business model and a business plan, you can go to the bank and borrow money, right? You're taking out a business loan and you're basically using other people's money and you're leveraging their money to get a return. So the return on your own capital, I guess, whatever you have to put up yourself, can be quite big. And no, I'm not obviously saying we should go borrow money to trade with. But if you thought about it, if we had access to capital like, you know, a traditional business owner would, then you could go borrow the money, right? Seed your company, make a return, and hopefully grow to the point where you have enough money where you can return the money to the bank, and then you're trading with your own money. So again, you need money to make money. If you don't have money, you have to trade big. And that's the problem. And that's kind of that vicious cycle, because you want to make your efforts worth it, right? And if you're not gonna make enough money, why spend the time, right? So usually that ends up, people usually go big and blow up, or they realize it's not worth their time and they just quit. And this is why, if you listen to one of my, probably a couple months ago, I had an interview with Matt Kors. If you haven't heard it, I've rebroadcast it as a podcast app. There's a link to the YouTube one on the trading page. But this idea, this is why I focus so much on return on time. Rather than going to the end of the spectrum where you need to make a lot to make your time worth it and you don't have money, so you bet big, you go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Rather than leveraging capital, you leverage your time, right? We want return on time. If you don't have the money to make a lot, can we instead think of ways to spend less time, spend a little bit of time, and get a lot of return on the time, even if you're not making a lot of money kind of in absolute dollars per se, right? So, you know, think about passive investing, right? You spend zero time, I don't know, to make 5 to 10%. And what if you can spend a little bit more than zero and make 15 to 20, for instance? And that's the idea. And I think for me, that makes sense, right? So the idea of leverage your time, but again, coming back to the original idea of this episode, is the idea that you can recognize that trading, right, can have a business model around the strategy. And those usually encapsulate providing some kind of service or taking a risk. And if you have that quantifiable, repeatable model, then it's just a matter of execution and sizing to kind of quote unquote beat the market. And again, now that you think about that way, I think you should recognize that beating the market isn't necessarily even that great, or, you know, that goal that's the one you should aim for. Because look, if you want to just make 10%, whatever it is, it's not really that spectacular, right? It's not that interesting. I think if you can kind of meaningfully use some time to generate, you know, 10 plus, call it 15%, 20%, even if your account isn't that big in the beginning, having that mindset and knowing that with overtime, if we're going to add to it over time, and having that consistent return, you can really grow your wealth. And it doesn't have to be something that you spend all your time doing. And nor is it an impossibility. So like, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, why do you do this? You can't even beat the market. Well, what I want you to take away from this is, well, you can. And it's really not that hard. It just requires a kind of shift in your mindset and the approach. All right. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that episode. As always, if you could please take a moment to rate and review and subscribe to the podcast, it really helps me out, helps the show grow. And you can, of course, find my trading page at www.thetradebusters.com, where you'll find all of the strategy mechanics, trade logs, various essays I've written, other podcasts I recommend. And finally, you can follow me on Twitter at TheTradeBuster. That's it for today. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you guys next time.